Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you on tonight. Thank you for joining us. I am excited. I am so excited about tonight's show. And I will encourage each and every one of you that's listening in on tonight, invite someone else. There's somebody who is allowing their past to dictate their future. And tonight's show is going to speak to that very thing. by the name of tonight's show is Against the Odds. And so we want to encourage those that's listening in. I have a special guest that's in the studio on tonight, and I'll be introducing her shortly. But one of the things, as I was in prayer tonight and kind of getting prepared and for tonight's show, and really just want the Holy Spirit to move, and I think even before we begin, there's a song I want to play. I don't do this often, but I want to set the scene because I believe there are some things that's going to be said tonight. But what I do know is that the seed that's going to be planted tonight is going to determine your ability to receive, to be sown into. And sometimes because we don't forgive ourselves, it's impossible for us to grow. It's impossible for us to receive what God has for us. And God has for us first and foremost in His Word. But He uses people and He uses their testimony to sow into us, to encourage us, to give us hope, to inspire us. And so if we're not ready to receive that, if we are shut down because of past failures, because of past bad decisions, then we won't be able to receive what God has for us. And the scripture that comes to mind, or the story that comes to mind, and many of you probably know, is Lot's wife. In Genesis 19, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God went back and forth with Abraham, that there wasn't one, that, you know, if there's one, and Abraham, you know, said his cousin Lot. And anyway, the angels came, they gave him specific instructions that God's going to save you, Lot, and your family. Leave the city and don't look back. In other words, leave your past and don't look back. And behold, Lot's wife was holding on to the past. She was holding on to the past so much that it destroyed her. It turned her into a pillar of salt. And there ain't no coming back from turning into a pillar of salt. So I'm just going to play this song, and then the next voice that you hear will be the introduction of my guest on tonight. And again, I'm giving people an opportunity to get plugged in on tonight because I think this is a great show, especially for young men and young women who feel hopeless, who feel like their past has really dictated their lives. Amen. So we will be back in a couple of minutes.
As a child of God, you have that peace.
Let's
Introduce to some and present to others my special guest. I'm going to say some things about this lady. This is actually her second appearance on Processing the Pain. She was on Processing the Pain about 2 years ago, and she told her story, and it was just such an amazing story. And after she shared her story, we began to bond. We began to bond, and I got a chance to read her book and got a chance to really get to know her, and it was kind of divine in the sense that me and her knew, unbeknownst to us, we grew up in the same neighborhood, and we knew a lot of the same people, and our families had intertwined together, and so it was just really kind of a divine introduction. And so she is the author of Concrete Rose. And Concrete Rose, she's going to go into telling you what Concrete Rose is. As a result of being the author of this book that kind of shares her life story, she then created a foundation, the Concrete Rose Foundation. She's the founder of this foundation, and this foundation is doing a lot of wonderful things for inner city youth, especially particularly young women. It's just really inspiring and encouraging and helping them to get back on track and get their lives in order and letting them know that there's hope, that there is hope, that there is hope. And then she's also owns her own catering company. She's a tremendous cook, and she's a mother. And I'm going to share some stuff for her, but I tell you, when you know her story, to see the things she's doing and she's putting into place against all the odds, I welcome into the studio Coach Tony Robinson. Are you in the house?
Yes, I am. I am in the house, Coach D. I just want to say thank you for having me on tonight's show. And I want to remind you, Coach D, this is actually my third time being on the show. I was on the show last year. Matter of fact, a year today, me and my daughter came on the show. I don't know if you remember that, but me and my daughter came on the show last year. And guess what? It was the same day last year.
Wow. So that's, now that's something special, because I didn't know that. So that's something special about about March the 30th, because here we are doing it again. And I'm so glad to have you on the show on tonight. And I just want to give, for those who don't know you, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I did a brief introduction, but I just want to give you an opportunity to introduce. Tell us, who is Tony Robinson?
Okay, well, as you know, I'm Coach Tony Robinson. I was born under Antoinette Robinson, and that's what Concrete Rose is under, Arthur Antoinette Robinson. Concrete Rose is a story about my life growing up in the streets of Compton, because, you know, back then I had a lot of different challenges and things that I went through in my life just growing up in Compton. As a young child, I endured so much, and I decided to write it in a book. I decided to write many things that I had endured, you know, and I put them in a book, and I just kind of told my life story. I call Concrete Rose my testimony, because I'm, you know, I'm talking about a lot of things in the book, where I was and where I'm at today versus where I'm at today. And so, you know, I just, when I wrote that book, I kind of opened up, you know, my heart and poured it into that book. And I, in doing so, I just wanted to reach not just women, you know, there's a lot of men out there too, because actually there are a lot of men that read Concrete Rose and, you know, they were really impressed. And a lot of them, like, you know, thinking of women like, oh, you know, my aunt can use this book, or I know a female that can use this book, you know, because when they look at me and they see the things that I've overcome, a lot of people are just kind of like, you know, just blown back, you know, like, wow, you know, look at you. You know, you went through all this, and look at you. Look at, you know, you don't look like what you've been through. And so I get that a lot. And, you know, I just, you know, I felt that God put it on my heart for me to write it. I struggled with it for a minute because of the backlash and what people would think about with the things I've been through. And then, you know, God reassured me, you know, you're okay. You don't have to worry about that. And he was right, because I didn't worry about it. I didn't worry about what people thought. I poured my innermost thoughts. I poured, you know, a lot of me, a lot of my experiences that most people probably would not want to share. But, you know, with God on my side and like, really gearing me through it, I did it, and I never looked back. You know, I never thought twice. And Concrete Rose is doing exactly what I wanted it to do. It's touching people, and people that read my book are actually, you know, getting something from it. It's helping a lot of people, so I'm proud of that, you know. And then after shortly, maybe a year or two after I wrote my book, a stranger on Facebook, he reached out to me, and he told me that God told him to bless me. And what he meant by that was, he said God told him to bless me to do my paperwork to start my 501c3 nonprofit organization. And he did exactly, you know, that. He did exactly what he said he would do. We linked up. We did everything by phone, because this man is in Chicago. Now, I still have never met him. We did everything over the phone, and this man did all my paperwork. And in December 29th, 2015, I got my approval letter for my organization. And, you know, I was just ecstatic, because now I can go a little bit further, and I can help more people, which I was already doing that before I got the 501c3. But now, you know, I could do it, and I can kind of like, do it legally. And also I can reach more people. And that's the whole idea, because I can, you know, I can get more donations to fulfill everything that I'm doing. And I'm just excited about that. I am a mother of a 26-year-old daughter. I have a catering business that I started from scratch, built that business. I'm still, you know, going strong with it. And I'm just, you know, my main baby is the nonprofit, though, and we're, like, getting that going right now. And whoever is listening out there, just follow the Concrete Rose Foundation, because we are on Instagram and we're on Facebook, and follow us because you, so you can keep up with some of the amazing things that we're going to be doing in the communities and some of the events that we're going to be doing. Hopefully there'll be travel soon. I'm just predicting that Concrete Rose Foundation is going to be bigger than life. And so that's what I'm putting out into the universe.
Amen. Amen. I know that we here at MCD Network partner with Concrete Rose Foundation to do we've done a couple of things. We went and fed the homeless, and then we also collected blankets and beanies and socks to also give to the homeless during the holiday seasons. And so that was such a blessing. It blesses me to just be able to be a blessing to others. And so we thank Concrete Rose for allowing us to partner with you in that. So what I want to do is you gave a glimpse of who Antoinette Robinson is, and it's really, it's amazing because I think about Saul, for example. When Saul was Saul and he was killing and persecuting the Christians, he was Saul. And when God called him, when he called him and turned his life around, he changed his name. And so that's unique because your story is about Antoinette Robinson, the little girl that went through different things in life. And now you are now Coach Tony Robinson, and you're able to now sit back and reflect and tell the story of this little girl. Do you mind sharing some parts about this story of Antoinette Robinson?
Not at all. Okay, so I grew up in Compton, California, and, it was back in the times, the early 80s, when I really, started, getting out in the streets and, getting into things. And as a result of even getting out into the streets and kind of, being around, which I would say the wrong crowds, was a result of my mom and grandfather, whom I stayed with at that time, there was a lot of alcoholism in the household, drugs. My mother was a user. And, I can say this from the age of, coming to California at 2 years old, because I was born in New York, Brooklyn, New York, but coming to California at the early age of 2 year old, maybe to the age of 7 or 8 years old, I was in a household with love. My grandmother was living at that time. My mom was a hard worker, and there was just so much love around and family. So I always say I'm so glad that I got a chance to, experience that at a young age, because those are the important years where kids are, picking up everything. And so I'm glad I got an insight on what true love and family and all that looked like, the holidays, everybody getting together and things like that. And then it took a turn for the worse when my mom met a man, and he introduced her to drugs. And when after he introduced her to drugs, that's when everything just started falling apart in my life. He began molesting me, and that's in the book. And from that, my mother got deeper into the drugs, and, the drugs had her attention more than her children. And so, I've been through foster care as a result of that. I ended up getting into gangs. I ended up selling drugs. A lot of people back then would look at me and say, wow, because I was 14 years old, and I was drinking and I was smoking marijuana. And so they're looking at me like, what is this young girl doing out here? But the one thing that I can remember was a lot of the people that I was hanging around with, they were older than me. And so nobody never really wondered. They wondered why, but nobody tried to get in, get a better look inside what was going on to see, okay, why is she out here? Where's her parents? What's really going on? And even though I was a little more mature, at age 14, 15, I was still a minor, and I was hanging around all these people, and I was doing everything that they were doing, And so I ended up just, my life you know, it kind of spiraled out of control really quick. You know, I hung around the wrong girls because as a result of trying to hang out because you're not getting love in your home, you try to find it in the street. And that's what I did. And I started hanging around with these girls in the neighborhood. In turn, they jumped on me. I mean, they turned on me. And then I ended up having to fight the girls. You know, it seemed like I couldn't even walk through my neighborhood without fighting. You know, so then I had to start learning how to protect myself. All this, you know, just going on at such a young age, you know. And so a lot of those things are in the book. I wrote, you know, from the time I came to California, leading all the way up to my mid-20s, when my mom passed away in 98. And so everything in between, you know, the book is, you know, from what people, the readers tell me, it is a page-turner. Because each page, there's something. There's something else. There's something else. There's something else. And I just remember, you know, when I was young and out there in the streets, I remember always reading Psalms 23. When I was out late at night, sometimes I'm walking through alleys, you know, late at night, getting home or, you know, out there selling drugs, you know, late at night and out in the street. But I would always read Psalms 23 because I did start off, you know, in the church. My grandmother went to church. She took me to church. There was a young lady by the name of Donna Houston that stayed about three or four houses down from me. You know, she would take me to church, you know, and I ended up going to church. I remember feeling the Holy Spirit at the young age of 12 years old. And nobody in my household was going to church, but I just remember how special I felt when I was sitting in the church and just feel, you know, the choir singing, how the music moved me, how gospel music moved me, how when the pastor preached, how it moved me. I didn't know what was going on, but I just know that I would be so moved. And, you know, I think if I can say that God planted me there, because that was like some type of calmness for me to deal with what I had to go home and face every day, you know, as my life changed. Because when my grandmother died, that's when all hell just broke loose, you know, in my household. And that's when that family, the family gatherings weren't anymore. You know, people had kind of separated. It's amazing that, you know, when we have grandparents and we have those grandparents that are like really into family and gatherings and things like that, they are the glue that hold the family together. And so when they pass away, a lot of families fall apart. And that's exactly what happened to me, you know. And I remember just feeling, you know, depressed as a child a lot after my grandmother died, because we didn't have those big gatherings anymore where it was just a lot of love. And so, you know, like I said, as a result of that, I was looking for love in the streets.
So, you know, your grandmother passing basically took away that stability of family that you know, that you had become accustomed to. And so let me ask you this, because one key thing you said that even in the midst of why you and I, you know, because I read your book, even in the midst of all that you had going on and all that you was doing in the streets and the molestation and getting, you know, being within minutes of your life being taken and all these things, one of the things you kept saying is that you always knew that there was a God. You always felt connected.
Oh, yes, yes. I always knew. It was a feeling, you know. And now, you know, that I'm more intimate, you know, in a relationship with God, I know that it was the Holy Spirit. And so it was just a feeling, you know, that put a calmness in me. You know, even being that young, I handled things differently. I handled stress differently. I handled hardships differently. You know, things that would have tore most people apart my age, I handled them differently. And I just feel like that was God. You know, he was there all along. You know, he had his hand on me. And that's the only way that I can explain it, but I just knew that at a young age, he was true, he was there, he was, you know, he was real, he lived in me. I would pray, you know, I always pray to God, even not really knowing how to pray then, but I would talk to him. I remember having those conversations with him. You know, I remember asking him to help me and my family and get my mom off drugs. I just remember talking to him. So I knew he existed, and I knew he was real, even at that early age.
Amen, amen. And that takes me to, you know, like you said, you know now. You didn't know then. And I think I hear a lot of people's testimonies, even my own, and I think I've heard even people that I know that's close to me. I can remember my mom telling me when she was a little girl, she would find herself in the backyard trying to baptize chickens, you know, and just didn't know what that pool was. So, you know, so it just goes to show that that when God has a call on your life, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what your past looked like. It doesn't, none of that matters. It doesn't stop the destiny that God has. But there's some point that you had to say, at some point you had to say yes. Tell us about that yes time for you.
Ooh, let me see. It was when I came back, I would say, it really wasn't, and I'm saying when I came back to kind of strong, when I came back and said yes, was probably in 2004, because I was looking for a church home. I had moved away, so my church home that I went to when I was younger, I didn't go back there. I don't know why. It wasn't no, like, reason or nothing, because I remember when I was a little kid, you know, I loved the pastor, you know. I loved our pastor. His name was, actually, I still remember his name, Pastor McClacklin. And he's still in Compton, same church. He just, they moved it. It used to be on Wilmington and Raymond. And so they expanded. They have a school now, but he's still living. Actually, I said I'm going to go visit my childhood church home. I'm going to get around to doing that. But I was looking for a church because I felt like, you know what, I need to get back in the church. I need to get back going. And, you know, at that point I was like, let me get back connected to God. You know, a lot of people say you don't need to go to church to get connected to God. But me personally, I feel like that's where you start. Because the anointing that flows through the spirit of the praising God and the word and all those things go hand in hand. It gets in you and it fills you, and that's your start. So, I mean, that's just how I felt. I began looking for a church home, and I remember my aunt invited me to church, and I remember saying, I don't want to go to another big church because I felt like I had joined a big church before that one. Before the church that I joined Faithful Central Bible Church in Englewood, but I had also went to another church, a big church in Compton, and I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't moved, and so I stopped going. When I stopped going, I went back out there, you know, I wasn't really, like, in the streets like I was versus when I was younger, because now, you know, I have my child. You know, so I kind of slowed down a whole lot. I had got out of selling drugs and everything. I put myself through beauty college, and I was working in the shop full time and taking care of my daughter as a single mother. But in 2005, I said, okay, I'm sorry, 2004, I decided, let me go searching for another church home. And I went to a few, and, you know, I went to a few church homes of friends that invited me. And I wasn't moved at any of them. You know, wasn't nothing wrong with the pastor or the church or whatever, but I just wasn't moved there. And finally in 2004, I went Easter Sunday. I went once before Easter Sunday. And I said, oh, I like this church. And so my aunt, you know, invited me again. Won't you come to Easter service? You're going to love it. And I went. And I was so moved that day that I walked down when they did the altar call. And that day I got back into church. And I felt home there. I felt what I was looking for was a place where I could be, my spirit can be fed to where it gets inside me. And that's when I went there, that's where I found that. When I started going to that church, I was moved. And every Sunday I was going back, and I was, was married. And my husband ended up, I told him about it, and he ended up going. So then, you know, we started going there together. We joined, became members, and that's been my church home ever since. And I can honestly tell you, through going there, made me want to get closer to God, made me want to know God, made me want to get to know him all on my own, made me want to have an intimate relationship with him, made me want to get into the word and learn and read the word for myself. But one thing that I asked God was, I said, Lord, I've read the Bible off and on pretty much my whole life. I said, Father, this time when I start reading the word again, can you please put in me to understand it?
Amen.
I need to understand what I'm reading this time. And he did that. And I just remember going back, reading some of the same scriptures, being blown away. Like, I read this, but I don't remember receiving it this way.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just got excited about, you know, reading the word. I got excited about reading the word because I knew that when I was reading the word, I was connecting to God because he is the word. John 1:1, you know, he is the word. And so I just started getting excited, and I started learning more about, you know, what God is saying to me. And then I start understanding, okay, if you want to talk to God and you want to hear, you know, what God has to say, it's in the word. And so I got connected, and I started reading that word, and I started learning the word. And, you know, as a baby Christian, you know, at the time, I was really excited about the word. You know, you get excited when you're a baby Christian. You start telling people because you're excited. You know, you start sharing it with your friends and your loved ones, you know, and everybody don't take it so well. You know, they looking at you like, oh, Lord, oh, man, here she go. But it was in my excitement because I felt like, you know, we talk about all kind of things. We gossip.
Yeah.
We talk about stuff that don't matter. You know, we talk about who did what, when. But then, you know, when it comes to talking about the creator, the one that breathes a life into us every day, the one that, you know, if it wasn't for him giving us a heartbeat and waking us up in the morning, why we don't want to talk about him? Why we don't want to talk about him? And so, you know, I got excited about talking about him, and I got excited about reading the word. And, you know, I pretty much stayed on that path with that relationship. I won't lie, I slipped up a few times and got out of the presence of him. But then, you know, when I came back even stronger. And it's been, you know, some years now. It's been probably over 6 years now, and I've just been going strong now. I'm reminded when I look back at my Facebook memories. So let's just say that.
Amen. You know? Amen. Well, so it is a progress. It's definitely a progression. You know, progression. We're moving forward and moving forward. It didn't take. You know, it didn't take you. It didn't take you 2 years or 6 years to build all the stuff, the garbage that we, you know, that we have to face in life. So it's not going to take 2 years for us to get rid of all that garbage, you know. It's a work in progress. And, you know, the Word of God tells us to walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's probably the biggest part of our journey. And I'm sure that anyone even listening in on tonight know that that's easier said than done. That's a hard thing to do, to stay in the Spirit, you know. And you have to constantly stay in the Spirit so that you don't do because your flesh only knows one thing. Your flesh don't know the word of God. It just knows the flesh, whatever the flesh feel. If the flesh feel like cussing you out, it can want to cuss you out. If the flesh is mad, it's mad. And it's those times that we're not in the Spirit that the flesh will overcome and take us. You said something that I really wanted to bring out because you were speaking about this is it. Because somebody's listening and they're on the fence and they're trying to determine, at this time, do they just completely say yes? Because, see, a lot of us haven't said yes. We said, And there's a difference between uh-huh and yes. The uh-huh is I got one foot in the world and I got one foot in the word. And I'm constantly struggling because of the simple fact that I have not made a definitive yes. I want to ask you, Coach Tony, when you finally said yes, you said you were excited, you were talking about Jesus, and people did not want to talk about that. Did it cost you some friends?
I would answer that like this. Did it cost me some friends where they just said, you know what, I don't want to deal with you because you just done became too spiritual for me and I don't, you know, I'm not there yet? No. But what happened was I asked God, God, if I'm not around the right people or if the right people are not in my life that don't mean me no good where I'm going in my walk, then you remove them. And then they just kind of fell away. That's what ended up happening. They, you know, they kind of fell away. And, it, you know, I was like, okay, you know, okay, Lord, you know. And that's really kind of how it happened for me, you know. And I was okay with that. Some of them, though, you know, because, like you said, the flesh, we're like, dang, you know, her too or them too, you know, you're thinking, you know, because I even had a girlfriend that we would pray together, you know, we would fellowship together, go to church. I can actually talk to her about God. But, she ended up falling away. God showed me some things about her that she wasn't a right fit for my life. And so she was removed from my life. In the beginning, because here I am, you know, the baby Christian, I didn't understand that, but then he revealed it to me later. And so mm-hmm. when he revealed it to me later, it was like, okay, Lord, well, I understand. I understand where you're taking me, not even this person, just because we fellowship, pray together, and did all those things, can go with me where you're taking me. So I had to, I had to understand when God did, you know. Now, I had to also remember, I asked him, you know, and then at one time, it was just really pretty much me and the Lord, me and the Lord. I don't have a lot of family here. You know, my mother has a huge family, but they're all in South Carolina. I never really met them. I only met them, like, I went to my family reunion, you know, some years back. I met most of them. But when you haven't grown up with, you know, family members on either side, you don't really know them. They're like strangers to you. You know, your family, they embrace you at the reunion and tell you to keep in touch and things like that. But you don't really bond with them. And so it was just me and God. It was me and God when it was a time that it needed to be me and God. At that time, I didn't understand it. I was crying out to the Lord. I was feeling lonely. I was feeling all by myself. You know, I had my daughter, but it seemed like friends were far and few. It seemed like even the family, the small family members that I have here, it seemed like they were distant and doing their thing. And then it finally hit me. God needed my full attention. He needed my attention. Amen. He needed me to be by myself. And I'm going to tell you, it was the best experience I ever had in my life. At least a good year. I can honestly say, when I was alone with God that one year, and I remember just I was everything, reading my word, you know, gospel was in my ear. I just needed to feel God almost 24/7. You know, unless I was working or something like that, where I couldn't, you know, really listen to music or anything like that. But that was the most intimate time that I had ever spent with God. And I'm glad that I learned to hear his voice. I'm glad I learned to hear him talk to me and tell me things that I needed to hear. That I would never, I tell people that believers that can understand, because, you know, when you can't talk to everybody, because some people, you know, they look at you kind of like, you know, is she crazy or whatever. But when I share that with believers and they get it, you know, of course, it's like, It was the most beautiful time of my life. I wouldn't change it for the world. It made me so much closer to him than I ever been in my life. And I learned so much about him. I learned so much about him. And when I came out of that experience, it just made me so much more stronger as a believer. And it just made me so much more closer to him that I felt like I can conquer anything in this world. Even if I do it alone, I'm never alone because he's always there with me. That's what I learned.
Amen.
That's what keeps me
Amen.
Strong. That is right there is what keeps me going every single day. When if I go to feeling like, oh, Lord, you know, ooh, you know, it hit me. I'll go back to that time, and I remember, you're not alone because he's always near to the righteous. He's, you know, he's with all his kids. He's with all his children. But the ones that are seeking him, he's right there. Right there all the time. And
Amen.
that makes my heart just feel so good, because if I think about it, I just, you know, I just like, it's like, you know, like a little baby, you know, when daddy wrapped his arms around you, even though I never actually felt that from my biological father, but I feel it and know what that feels like from my spiritual father. And I love that.
Yeah, heavenly, yeah. Well, one of the things I'm going to do, and then we're going to open up the lines for anyone that might have, if you have questions or comments tonight for our guests, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. But one of the things I'm going to go back to when you were saying, you know, you said that it, you know, that that was one of the best times of your life. And I can relate to that because I went through what I call those wilderness experiences. And one of the things I want people to realize that those experiences come from a place of pain. You're pushed into the wilderness, generally is pain that drives us into the wilderness. And oftentimes people want to say the devil. Oh, the devil this, the devil that. But I want you to know on tonight that if you go through the Bible and you read the Bible and you look at each wilderness experience, when Jesus went into the wilderness, when the children went into the wilderness, it was never the devil. It was never the enemy that drove them into the wilderness. It was God. And it's a painful experience. And I could think about I've had many wilderness experiences, but I could think of one particular. And I always say it was the most painful experience of my life, but it was the best, because I found out a lot about me, and I had to get comfortable with spending time with me and getting to know who I was and my fears and my you know, my weakness and my strength. I had to, because I didn't like me, and God said, you know what, you don't like you, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to stick you with just you. It's going to just be you and me. And it was a painful time, but it was the most awesome time because I grew with him. We do have a caller, area code 310, last 4, 5065. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Good evening.
Oh, yes, we can hear you.
Okay, hello, ladies. How are you doing this evening?
We're great.
We're good.
All right, my name is Mai. And I just want to commend you, Tony Robinson, for your journey and sharing your life story with us. I just had a question. Your title is coach. I just want you to explain a little bit more to me about your title as being a coach. What do you do as a coach?
Okay. Under Coach Tony Robinson is a motivational speaker. Also, mentoring as well. My being a coach is to, because of all everything that I've been through in my life, I didn't even know that I was being pushed into this area of my life. I didn't know God was calling me. My calling is to uplift women. You know, we always say, women, we have so much in common. We all share a lot of the same hurts, the same pain, the same struggles, the, you know, heartache and things like that in relationships with men. You know, we go through it. And so, you know, I like to encourage women. I like to encourage them to be the best version of themselves that they could be. I like to encourage women to you know, we need to stand together. If we stand together, we can become a force to be reckoned with. You know, we can become so much more powerful. But I know a lot of it comes from a lot of the way people were raised, a lot of the way people upbringing was, how their mom was, and things like that, the household they lived in, what they were surrounded around, what they was exposed to, and things like that. But I just, you know, I try to get them to look within and see what it is that you need to change. If you can really look at yourself and see, okay, what is it about myself that I really need to work on, then you can be more open to working on those things. But a lot of women, and even women that I have talked to and work with, they can't get outside of that. They can't see themselves. You know, a lot of people don't want to be told the truth and things like that. And so we just, you know, I push that. And I just want to encourage women, you know, so they can be better moms and better friends, better wives, you know, just whatever that is. And so that pretty much is what falls under Coach Tony Robinson. I'm a coach of pushing you to be the best that you could be. Because I tell anybody, listen, if I can, from where I come from, be the woman that I am today, anybody that has been through obstacles, and I've seen women and been around women that have not even touched the surface on the things that I've been through in my life at starting out at such a young age. So we don't have to be subjected to what we've been through in our lives. We don't have to stay there. And that's what I try to get, you know, a lot of women to see. You don't have to stay there. You can overcome anything. You can overcome anything. So I'm just here. God is using me as a vessel to push women to become the better version of themselves. And that's pretty much under the Coach Tony Robinson. That's pretty much what all that falls up under.
Amen.
Colin,
thank you so much
for sharing that with me.
No, thank you for sharing that with me. And where can I reach out to you? What is your Facebook or Instagram or any other social media networks that you may be able to connect me with?
Yes, my IG is Coach Tony Robinson, Instagram. I'm on Facebook under Coach Tony Robinson. I'm not on any others, but right now those are the main two that I'm on right now, and that's, you can reach out there. Actually, since you asked, my book also is, you can reach purchase my book on Amazon, Concrete Rose, author Antoinette Robinson. I encourage the listeners tonight to purchase my book. Give it to a girlfriend that may need it, that's broken, that may be going through something that, you know, she just can't seem to overcome. You know, I've had teenage girls read my book and tell their mom, wow, you know, that book really inspired them and, you know, made them, you know, maybe change their mind about some situations that they may have, you know, went and gotten into. So I encourage, you know, anybody that's listening tonight to pick that book up at Amazon.com. Soon you'll be able to get it on Coach Tony's website that's being under construction right now. And also my foundation, Concrete Rose, is also on Instagram and Facebook as well. And, you know, look out for Concrete Rose Foundation, because we're going to be doing a lot and we're going to be sharing everything on those pages. So just please, you know, like, and just, you know, be ready for a lot of things in the future, because I got my hands in a lot of things and we're getting ready to do some amazing work.
Amen. Well, we have another caller. Caller, area code 702, last four, 1288. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi.
Good and you?
This is Leona. I was just calling to let Tony know that, she's wonderful. I see her on Facebook. I finally got your book from another friend.
Thank you.
In my group, and I loved it. So I just wanted to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, and I see God all over you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, Coach Tony, we are coming toward the end of our show. We have a few minutes left. And so what I would ask of you is this. We have, you know, people that's listening in now. We have people that have probably listened to the archive of this show. And what would be the one thing that you would want to tell that young girl that's been through a lot? Maybe they're still living in the madness of it all. Maybe they're in an abusive relationship, or they're living in a home that's broken and unstable, or, you know, they didn't got involved in drugs or gangs, or maybe even they've had a couple of kids and they're still, you know, in their teens or early 20s, and they're just feeling like, what can God do with me? What would be the words of encouragement that you would give these young ladies, and even men, because we know that men are broken too, and they've experienced the same pains, lack of fathers, not being around, being driven to gangs because they have to make a choice. You know, I don't think too many people just want to be, wake up and say, oh, I want to be a gangbanger today. But when you're living in a neighborhood that that's what the culture is, and you don't want, and you want to just survive and make it from day to day, sometimes you have to get involved in stuff that you really don't want to be involved in. So what would you say to these people?
Yeah, you know, I would say, first of all, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our young, you know, young women and men have to endure so much at a young age, you know. But my main thing would be, it's never too late to seek and reach out to get help, to want better for yourself, to never be afraid, never feel like you have to be in that place, never feel like you have to stay in that place, never feel like you can't reach out because it's a sign of weakness and you know, somebody over here saying like counseling or going to get help is a sign of weakness, because we know that that's been, you know, put into a lot of black communities, you know, from way back when. I mean, I was hearing this when I was a young girl, that black people don't go and seek help. They don't go to counselors and get therapy and those kind of things. But that's not true, because even myself has been down the road of counseling. It was the best decision that I could have ever made for my life. You know, a lot of times your friends and the people around you, they can't tell you what to do. I mean, you know, they can't tell you which path to go, because they might be going in the same path as you. So, you know, you give yourself permission to be okay with making a decision, no matter what anybody has to say. Do whatever you need to do to get yourself right, so that you could be right for your kids. Because what that is, you know, that's a generational curse. If, you know, it goes all the way up to the grandmother. I've seen families where the grandmother was, you know, wilding out and talking crazy and cursing out the kids. Then the mother does it, and this goes to this kid, or, you know, or whatever it may be. Somebody was highly sexual, you know, just whatever, you know, you pick up. And so break the generational curse, because you don't have to follow in those footsteps. You can get out. You can do it. You can do something different, so your child can have a chance at having a better life. So I just say, find a great counseling center. Find a mentoring program. Concrete Rose is going to have one. Concrete Rose Foundation is going to have one soon. And just, you know, go out there and just, you know, get the help and get out. It's okay. That's what I would say. Just get the help that's needed. Get the help that's offered out there.
Amen. Well, Coach Tony, we want to thank you for taking the time to grace us with your presence and being willing to just be transparent, to share your story. We appreciate you, and I'm praying that God will continue to use you and your ministry and your business to touch the lives of those who are you know, that are going through the storm. And with that being said, I am going to leave our listening audience with a scripture, and I think this is appropriate, and it's Isaiah chapter 43, and it's verses 18 and 19, and it tells us, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am, and that the I am. I am, for those of you that don't know, is God. And he said that he is. I am that I am. And he said that because he don't want to be defined as one particular thing. He don't want to be defined as just a healer or just a provider or just our protection. So he came up with two words that to say that he is everything. So he said, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, he's doing a new thing in you, and it's moving. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In other words, you may be in the wilderness right now, and you may try, and the wilderness is painful, but I'll tell you this, respect the process, submit to the process, and be willing to hear the voice. See, it takes being still. It takes being in the wilderness sometimes for us to hear the very voice of God, and so we could get instruction, so we could move forward, so we could get past life's pain, and we can move forward in the purpose and the plan and the destiny that he has for us. And anyone that I'm sorry if I'm struggling a little bit, but I'm pushing through, amen. But I just want to encourage you all on tonight. Thank you again for listening in and your continued support. Coach Tony gave her information. Coach Tony, can you just give your website one more time?
The website for the Concrete Roads Foundation?
Yes.
The website for the Concrete Roads Foundation is www.concreteroadsfoundation.org. And to purchase Concrete Roads, My Story, you can purchase that at Amazon. Antoinette Robinson, you can purchase that book. I encourage those that are listening, especially if we have anyone, any young ladies on the line, to please, well, actually all ages, but really my young girls, to pick up that book and read it, share it with a friend or tell a friend to buy it. You know, if you know somebody that's struggling and going through something, give them that book, because I'm getting amazing feedback on that book. I still have people that bought that book, didn't read it right away, and they're coming back to me so excited because they just can't believe, you know, how amazing the story is. You know, they love the story, and by it being a true story, you know, people are like, wow, you know, this is so amazing. It's going to help someone. And so I really love getting that feedback, you know. So I just encourage you guys, get that book and read it, pass it on, and be encouraged.
Amen. So, again, we thank you, listening audience, for tuning in on tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain with our special guest, Coach Tony Robinson. Please feel free to continue to tune in to MCD Network's series of broadcasts. On Tuesday nights, we have Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Thursdays, of course, Processing the Pain. And so join us next week. We have another special guest on next Thursday, and I'm excited about this guest as well. And we just want you to know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and have a blessed evening.